There's still people coming in, I think.
Nick won't make it.
He won't?
No, he's tough. His grandson or something has to make it, but he's in Portland or Vancouver, I should say.
That looked like, yeah, might be coming in. I thought I saw him.
Cool poster, dude.
Well, thanks, man.
I wasn't sure if it got wet out there on the dock, or if this was actually like what it was supposed to look like. And so now I know. It's like really nice.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they could be less fun, but they didn't want it. Close enough.
Right.
Sort of. That's funny.
No, I think John's the chief chair anyway.
We elected him last time.
Yeah, when you were sneaking away doing something.
Nick is now VP.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Congratulations there.
Great. All right, you guys, it's 10 a.m. Let's get this meeting started. Good to see everybody. Thanks for coming out to another Charleston Advisory Committee meeting. And I guess we could start with introduction. I'm John Blanchard. I'm the captain over at Sharkey's Charters, LLC, and president of the Charleston Merchants Association, and now an Oregon Albacore Commissioner.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Got my hand in a bunch of stuff right now, so hopefully I can keep going hard and enjoy it. So thank you guys for coming out.
Newt Nemeth, Charleston Scallywag, and then advisory board member.
Lou Liberty, lifetime resident of Charleston, and at Port Budget Committee member.
Kathy Horns doing a whole bunch of nonprofit stuff around Charleston.
Christina Sanders, Port Staff.
Crystal Karcher, Port Staff.
Oh, Julie Struggs, I'm with ODOT. I'm a permit specialist. I also do a development review.
How about Fisher Families?
Charleston Fishing Families, leisurely too, Jerry Watson.
Drew Farmer, Coos County Commissioner, and appointed to the OPAC just now, so.
Congratulations.
More work.
Jen Schaefer, I'm representing OIMB.
Mickey Colts, Port Coos Bay Maintenance.
Heather Watson, Port Staff.
Danny Jazze, Port Staff.
Ron Lowne, longtime RV. Yes.
Ray Glider, Port Staff.
Rick Adamack, Port Staff.
Lynell Comstock, Port Staff.
Aaron Simons, ILWU, board member.
All right, thanks everybody for introducing yourself. Welcome again, and we have a great meeting. So I see our agenda we've got. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you very much. And so let's, anybody get a chance to review in the meeting minutes for our previous meeting back in April? It's been a minute since we got to meet. We kind of missed the meeting, so. I got to look it over. It looked like everything was covered on what I could tell.
Make a motion we approve as read or sent.
I second it.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, moving on. Financial data review. I bet that's Mr. Ray Dwyer.
Sure, why not? Good morning, everybody. So, if you turn to page 11 in your booklet there, Charleston Marina's operating result is a net gain of $341,000 compared to a budgeted net gain of $51,000, which is $291,000 better than planned. Charleston total net result is $109,000 net gain compared to a budgeted $64,000 budgeted net gain. Year-to-date revenues are greater than projected due to an increase in building leases, moorage, ice sales, shipyard services, and higher occupancy in the RV park. Year-to-date expenses are underspent by about $17,000. Operating expenses exceed the prior year expense by $143,000. Other revenues include small grants, loan proceeds, the administration fee for lodging tax, credit card surcharge fees, and insurance claim reimbursements for damage done to Port property, or to Charleston property. Other expenses include the merchant fees, property taxes assessed on the storage unit buildings, buildings, insurance claim reports, and debt service payments. So Charleston's preliminary year end result, a net of $108,000 compared to a budget of $64,000. The port completed a supplemental budget before the end of the fiscal year and reallocated appropriation expense from the Charleston to other departments to maintain operations. So, we did good in Charleston.
Would you report that last statement, please, that the port's...
So, at the end of the year,
yeah,
we have to set a supplemental budget if our finances are, what is it, over 5%? Over something like that.
So does that mean that those get allocated to other things other than this port?
Yes.
Yes.
So specifically, we had $100,000 budgeted for our sediment samples, and we'll be doing that this year instead of last year. So that's $100,000 that we did.
But if Charleston does well, and it seems to have done well the last few years, why does the administration choose to not budget and not do some important stuff down here versus doing stuff in town? That's a statement that I think the budget committee and our staff down here works their butt off. I know that.
And does a good job. Up until the last couple of years, we haven't turned profit. We haven't been in the plus.
I would say last year was only like $13 or something like that.
So, I mean,
well, yeah, if the port chooses to move money out of it, they don't have money.
Right. Understood. And okay. And we budget this year based on what happened last year.
And we increased our expenses this year.
But since we started actually doing stuff that's right for business, we seem to be getting a few more people and a few better results. So from a budget standpoint, and that's probably my fault, we're not screaming at the budget committee to do other stuff with our own money than, you know.
For this year, we did.
The downtown steals enough of our property tax.
I've
said that every year. But
and
I'll continue to say
that.
Okay. I'm done. I'm off my way.
So, can that
Ray, explain to me that you said $100,000 for sediment samples. That's what this money was going to. That's for Charleston, correct?
That would have been for Charleston, yes.
So the money basically did stay here, not so much of it to go up town. So
we're going to have
your sediment samples for the dredging and stuff.
Yes.
I'm assuming therefore.
Yeah. That'll be in this year's budget.
I disagree, Aaron. I think what Lou is saying is that the money was appropriated for last year's budget. It was underspent. It wasn't that the money is still in Charleston. The money went to, it was reappropriated.
For the set of the samples of this year.
It will be done this year, but that's money that was budgeted this year. We're talking about money that was budgeted last year that didn't get spent and then got reappropriated to the railroad. To pay for insurance or whatever needed to be paid for. And what Lou is saying is, how come we didn't take that money that was budgeted and appropriated for Charleston and spend it on projects in Charleston again? That's what I understood. As far as what I could follow, and I would like to add, Lou, I appreciate you pointing that out, because when I watched the budgetary process, and I participated in the committee as well with you, when I watched the following meeting, I was surprised. I didn't understand how the process worked, but it was a little bit disturbing to me, because I felt like the money was shifted, or it was shifted away from us here in Charleston. Of course, I always want to advocate for Charleston in our budgeting, it all fell within the rules of the port and how they can move money around. So
It's just, I am done with you, but I would like to see, if there is a surplus, that I would like to see it stay here instead of being taken away. Maybe in the future, someplace else has to give up to help us, so I don't know how that, we have to kind of consider that too, and that's why those rules are in there, but yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know how budgets work exactly, but can't, when there's surplus money like that, can't it go towards debt? Because we have quite a bit of debt in Charleston for projects.
Yeah, it was, so there was the extra money that we had not spent last year that was indeed gone, went to the railroad, because they were so far in debt, and so the port helped pay some of their outstanding invoices, and that's exactly what that was. We could probably pay off more debt if we needed to as well.
Because isn't there interest involved with debt?
Yes, absolutely.
So it seems to me like from a personal point of view that when I pay off a debt, I don't have the interest compounding on top of it.
Just a thought. That's essentially what we did. We paid off debt. It just wasn't Charleston debt. It was railroad.
I'm talking there's debt in Charleston, like from the ice plant and things like that.
I understand. Mm-hmm. But as a port, we have to look at all of our budget.
Well, but we also have to look at the Charleston money that it's made to pay off the Charleston debt. We were just talking the last meeting about the ice plant losing money on ice because of the debt.
Right.
So if we take that money and we do put it towards the debt, then we're not losing as much money, and we've got rid of that extra interest for Charleston.
True.
I mean, when we loan or pay off debt for the railroad, is there an IOU that for the railroad that pays back? Okay, well, so I don't know how you guys separate that or not. So, because I do agree with Lou, because he's been here a lot of years, and I know that we've spent a lot of Charleston money for other things. So it would be nice to keep it here, and I know Jerry Hample was a big one about keeping the money here.
Especially when we keep talking about Charleston paying for itself.
Right. When it does, but yet the money's being allocated elsewhere, it doesn't look like it.
Any further discussion on it? They, like I said, they're all within the rules, so it's a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know, Linnell, you have a heck of a job to try and weigh all these options, and and I know that those interest payments and it's all weighed, but I do know the strategies that, you know, it would be nice to pay down debt, but sometimes it is too risky to pay down debt. You need that capital.
Sometimes it's a tax write-off, too.
All right. Okay, no further discussion. I guess we just move on to current project updates.
Current project updates. Going over what I reported on last time, last meeting we reported on our rate increases and stuff. Overall, we did the 3.3% rate increase for most of our services. We did a higher rate increase for ICE, $150 a ton for ICE, and then for some of our shipyard services, we looked at our travel lift services in the shipyard and what it's taking up of time, staff, and the cost to lift boats out. So those were adjusted as presented to the Charles Advisory Committee last month, and that was approved by Port Commission. The cost of ICE, we ended up raising that to $150 a ton. Let's see what else we have, the shipyard stuff. Okay. I reported that the Connect Oregon grant was submitted for $2.3 million for phase one of the shipyard improvement project. That is still in process. We're going through the review stage right now. So far, I've done two presentations to Connect Oregon, to different committees that are evaluating our grant applications, and evaluating all the grant applications. I have another presentation, I believe it's the 2nd of August. And honestly, I'm feeling very comfortable. It is very competitive. We've got $84 million worth of grant requests and $30 million worth of grant money available. So it is very competitive. But even though it's that competitive, I still feel comfortable that we have a good chance.
When you say there's 30 million available out of 84,
yes.
Does that mean that that grant could be cut from that 2 million? Okay.
No, no, we would end up
when you request the grant. That holds true.
Okay. If we were awarded that grant, we would get the $2.33 million from Connect Oregon. And okay. We are matching that with $1 million that was secured from governmental or federal spending allotment for Valhoil a couple years ago. So, total project is $3.3 million. We've been in conversation with permitting specialists and contracting that worked out and also design and that type of thing for the permitting process. So we're at the beginning of the permitting process. For the
good job. We rely on you to push that through, right?
Working on it. We're working on it. I mean, let's say, please.
I was just going to say, because we have federal funding, we have to go through the NEPA process, which is very extensive.
Right.
And we can probably talk more on that as well, what that looks like and timing. A lot longer than we expected.
So yeah, that's about a year-long process, and so we've elected to get a consultant to do that NEPA process for us and those environmental assessments. I mean, I would love to learn it as we go along through, but I just don't have the experience, nor do we have the time available to jeopardize, Ray didn't get this done in time. So we're going to get a consultant. Our plan now is to get a consultant, which will be paid for out of the grants. And have them do the permitting process for us. So we've been in conversation with both design and implementation and also permitting for it. And those communications have been going through both the Corps of Engineers and USDA, which is a federal agency that's going to spearhead the permitting process. So we're moving forward. It's a good positive move. There's still a lot of loopholes to jump through. There's still a lot of things that pieces of the pie that need to be in place. Our biggest concern that I've been able to come up with is we have eelgrass on both sides of the project area. So Department of State Lands is very concerned, and ODFW, everybody's, all the regulatory agencies, very concerned about what our impact's going to be to that eelgrass.
And will they have to mitigate that and put the eelgrass somewhere else, or?
If we impact eelgrass, that's going to be part of the biological assessment and what we're contracting somebody to do for our permitting process. That's that NEPA process that we have to go through.
Is Ray still thinking about selling?
I'm not sure what the deal is with the shipyard right now.
Okay.
Last I knew, he was still talking about selling, but we're still moving forward with the repairs to the marine ways. And this is just for the in-water work portion of the marine ways. All the stanchions, the cables, things like that down in the in-water portion.
Much needed.
I don't know of anybody that successfully transplanted the eelgrass.
Agreed. No.
And so we need to look at the options that, need to work around that.
Definitely.
For everybody.
And that's the goal, is to not impact the eelgrass at all. I mean, we have eelgrass on both sides, but our plan and the way it looks on the maps and stuff, it looks like we'll be able to put a cofferdam just inside of the eelgrass area we have right now and isolate our work area from that eelgrass. Of course, that's part of these studies to make sure that we're going to be able to surface things like that.
So when you're working over there on the shipyard stuff, we have state waters around here, mm-hmm. and everything, and we have the South Slough, which
yes.
Does the state waters and stuff. South Slough has been a jewel of our community for over 40 years there, and keeping that water clean,
yes,
around the South Slough is probably the most important thing we can do, second to working right alongside the South Slough and state lands there, to make sure that we move forward together for the betterment of our community here. And I believe that from what I've known of the South Slough people, they would like to do it too. I mean, they live here too, and they know what's going on, and we just have to find a way to make sure all the X's are crossed,
yes,
and stuff like that, so nobody gets in trouble and we don't put at risk our environment out here.
You are 100% right, and that's our vision too, is to make sure that we do this right. Otherwise, it won't get done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you put in that water cleanup system over there in the shipyard, which I thought was amazing, I'd asked a gal to come down from Portland. Initially, she brought a trailer down there, and she showed how to clean the water up there, the shipyard runoff and everything like that. And then when the port went to work on deciding who they were going to get, they picked another company other than the Scout. But that's cool. You guys did the job. You got the system in there. And that runoff water going back into the slough is clean, which is what we wanted there. So I think that was a very positive move.
We wouldn't have a shipyard if we didn't have that system.
Yeah, and I thank you guys for doing that.
Right. It's a very expensive system to maintain. But yeah, we would not be able to have a shipyard right now if we didn't have that system. Okay. So as you, some of you know, some of you don't, we finished our bathroom project over here in the RV park. Port staff, maintenance staff did a great job getting that all cleaned up, getting it painted. It's got a fresh coat of paint. I'm very impressed with our port staff.
Looks great for the people in there.
Thank you very much.
Nice job.
I do appreciate that. So our staff has now moved on to their talents in the Interbasin Restroom Project. This was a $50,000 project that's sponsored through the Oregon State Marine Board grants. We got $30,000 from the Oregon State Marine Board to use for materials. We are matching that with $20,000 worth of staff labor and our equipment to do the work. So it's a win-win for both of us. We'll have new doors, new toilets. If you drive by over there, you'll see new paint already on the roof, and the roof's resealed. They're doing a great job. Very, very happy with the, it's been a long process to get this one done. There's a lot of work involved, but they're doing a great job on it. So I was planning on having some slides up here, but ran out of time today to get some slides up. So you just have to drive by and take a look. We're very happy with what they're doing there. We've been working on FDOC, still working on FDOC for the structural issues and the design there. We've got some of the exposed wiring fixed. We've got some more work to do. These docks are never ending. Never ending on work to do on these, but we're trying to address those as we can.
Salt.
Yes, we are very in a very corrosive environment, so it just, stuff doesn't last out here. Let me see here. We already talked about we haven't talked this time, the new ice plant text notification system, that's going very well. As we have issues with the ice plant, we try to broadcast it out and try to keep the fishing fleet informed. We've had a little bit of downtime this year. We try to minimize it as much as we can. We had some problems with our cooling system for our freezer bin, basically for the freezer to keep it cold. We just had Adcock's out here yesterday doing some more adjustments. All that stuff has been replaced. It's just a matter of fine-tuning it and getting that ice bin cold again. So.
And what's the status of the water filtration
system? Water filtration system, the materials were on back order from when I understand. And Rick, did he come over the gate?
Another 2 to 3 weeks before their arrival in town. And then he'll put them in once we're here.
So that should have already been done. But the contractor wasn't able to get the materials as fast as what he thought.
The fleet has a question.
Sure.
What is the port's plan for the next time the ice plant goes down? Because yes, the text messaging system is there. Mm-hmm. However, the fleet was not notified that the ice plant was back up in order until Facebook, and that was prior before the text message. So trying to make an appointment to get in to the ice plant was out of their reach.
Right. Well, the ice plant was back up and running, but I didn't post the message until we had full ice bin. Because all of a sudden, we make that ice at about 2 to 2.5 tons an hour. If I put a post on there saying the ice plant's up and running, you can make your appointments, and we have an empty ice bin, it doesn't do us any good. So I waited until the ice bin was practically full. Because
so there wasn't enough ice?
There wasn't enough ice in the bin yet. And that's why we didn't post the message right away. Is because if I post it and say, hey, ice, we've got ice, but it takes us 3 days to fill the ice bin.
We were just trying to understand
why
it was announced on Facebook
right
before the text message. That was their question.
Right. But that's what the deal was. I didn't put it on the text message system yet. I mean, I could have put it on and say, hey, the plant's fixed, and I try not to do too many updates, so that way that when we do get an update, it's correct information.
Okay.
Is
the ice plant operational now?
Yes. Yes, it is. We're still working on getting the bins to that 5 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit range right now. As of this morning, they're running in the low 20s. Ultimately, we want that ice bin down to like 5 to 10. So, like I say, Adcock's was out here yesterday working on fine-tuning the system and getting it down to temperature. So we're progressively working because we want that ice cold.
That's in time for tuna season.
I tell you what, this weekend, this port was busy. We had our maintenance staff were so busy pumping ice to both commercial boats and to recreation boats. It was an exciting time down here. If you didn't have anything to do this on Sunday, you should have driven around here. It was exciting. It's fun to see things happening here in Charleston.
So this is a Saturday morning at 6.
Yeah.
It started at the Coast Guard station, the lineup to launch.
Well, you see the Coast Guard station's got their cones up out there now. So that's because they don't want anyone parking there.
Right, but this was the start to get
yes.
in line.
That's, it's always fun. It's a nightmare. And, you know, a little plug for the port. If you guys need a mortgage slip for the night, there you go. That's what I recommend, so you don't have to battle with the long line at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to launch your boat. We do have mortgage spaces available if somebody needs mortgage space for the next morning.
You guys still check the parking lot to see if the people are purchasing lunch?
Yep. Okay. Our night shift security guy, he takes a walk around in the morning before he gets off shift. And the weekend time, our weekend security guy does. We are down a member of our security staff that we're not going to fill this year due to budget constraints. But having said that, we're still going to try to have a day shift security one hand to check that. Just keeps people honest. Other than that, our staff is once again getting ready for state dredge workup over here. So we're going to get the bathrooms fixed. Instead of running two shifts a day up in Pure Vault, we're just going to run one shift on a strong tide. That will leave a few more man hours here in Charleston, which should help us a little bit for still getting things done here in Charleston. So we're trying to get the best of both worlds.
Are we going to backfill those positions?
There's discussions with the state of having hiring a temp to assist with that.
Or for even here. Send in three guys from here.
That's what the state to have a temp here to help us out. So, it won't be man to man.
Why?
We just don't have.
But if the state's paying for the wages, that money should just be reallocated into temp funds to cover the manning from here. Whether it's.
You would think so. You would hope so, but that's not how our agreement works, unfortunately, and that's.
And having said that, this is the last year. This is the last year under that agreement.
Are those transportation funds that you're getting that, or is that marine?
State marine.
Okay.
Fuel tax dollars.
Okay.
That pay for that. And Linnell's made it clear to the state that we're not going to continue operating the state.
What did you have?
Yeah, I've got to. In my statement of when I started, that's where I think part of that $400,000 should have gone, because when we ship somebody away to do favors for the state and Garibaldi,
right,
we lose ground, and that's every year the sport docks are worse off than they are. If we had that extra money to hire a temp or whatever it is to keep that stuff clean, that just generates more money for us next year, I think, because when I walk down there to get my slip every May. Mm-hmm. It's a total mess.
Watch your step, right?
No.
Well, that's an ongoing
thing. I took my own power washer down and cleaned the dock to it. But those are the little things that mean something to people that actually put money in our pockets.
And we actually had staff down on that dock with hoses a couple days before you did that loop. That's how fast that built back up.
Yeah. On it.
So, and it's an ongoing process during this time of year. When we don't have the rain to wash the docks off, those interbasin docks just get nasty.
Yeah.
And our maintenance staff is starting to get down there as often as they can. But
yeah,
we're shorthanded. We got ice plant.
That's where I'm saying, excuse the expression, downtown steals our money.
Okay.
You have
any questions? Any other?
I'm not really.
Did I miss it that you can think of? We're constantly looking for other grants. I'm looking at another state framework grant. That application is due the middle of August, so another project for that, kind of centering maybe some cameras and lighting in the parking lots. That's kind of where the direction we're headed. We noticed last year and the years previous during the festival lights, when we had all the people in here, our lighting is just not sufficient in the parking lot. So we're looking at a project for the next grant cycle, possibly getting some new lighting and updating our lighting in the parking lots. So.
And the cameras are all working?
The ones that we have up, but we need more. We always need more. We could easily put 250 cameras on this place and still have dead spots.
And Lou, I know you always talk about admin taking all the money, but the admin office also covers a lot of the resources that Charleston utilizes,
such as HR
and payroll and all the financing. So if Charleston was to have a finance person and an HR person,
right. No, it would
cost have all those extra expenses, and they don't pay for those services, in a sense. So that's where admin gets.
I understand a little bit of it. That won't keep my mouth shut, though.
Just for everyone else. You know.
No, I understand your concerns, but over the last couple of years, we've shifted the direction of the port more to Charleston.
I'm very happy for that. It's people like him that come and show and make a statement.
It's definitely, we're moving in a better direction.
Yes.
And we're going to continue moving in a better direction. Staff-wise, we're getting more involved in the community groups in the area. We just had the Charleston Merchants Association had the Seafood Festival at the Visitor Center. I think it turned out to be a real good one. And we also have port staff on the Charleston Merchants Association. I've been trying to go to the Charleston Fishing Families meetings as well. We are working on being that good community partner that we needed to be.
Thank you.
I think everything is working better from the top down.
Thank you. We're trying.
Okay, so let's move on to agenda 6. If everybody's ready, some discussion on maintenance needs, new issues from customers and staff perspectives. I can just add, just to start off, I did get a conversation with one of the guys that came down from the RV park here, and he propositioned me to park his vehicle at my business. And I said, why do you want to park your vehicles at my business? So I can just share his feedback, because I don't see him in the audience today. I asked him to come to talk to you guys, so I thought it would be good feedback. But there was a few things he talked about, the RV park. He's been coming here a long time. He's upset about the way it's turning out for him this year, I guess. What he pointed out was a few things, if I can remember them all. One, there was new fees added. The $5 a vehicle fee was added. Where the new vehicles were supposed to be parked was by a dumpster. didn't make any sense, because when the vehicles are parked there and they come to get the dumpster, how's that going to work out? He talked about the internet being terrible. I know we've talked about other advisory committees said the internet's just terrible in the park here. If you don't have Starlink, well, then you pretty much are sharing pretty low bandwidth.
We've increased it to a gig, I want to say. Yeah, so I mean, it's still shared, but okay, go ahead.
So, he said this. Also, he said that there was somewhere in the park here, there was a pipe that's leaking water, the sprinkler system said it's still leaking water, and it's been doing that for a while.
Years.
So the sprinkler. He says years, he says this thing is, and then the next thing he pointed out was that along the fence there on the inside, there was a lot of garbage that the wind was accumulating against the fences.
He had a list.
Well, yeah, he opened right up when I asked him, because I told him I didn't want him parking in my spot. We move our, but I wanted to ask him, I was like, well, you know, what's going on, you know. And so, anyways, I asked him to come down here and be an ass and talk, but he didn't want to show up. So.
You know, and stuff like that, if guests have concerns, please bring it to me. Bring it to Heather, bring it to myself. I'd like to address a couple of those concerns that they have just for the group. So the $5 vehicle parking, long time we've charged $2 per extra vehicle. We, as you can see in the RV park, we don't have a whole lot of extra parking. We used to charge $2 per day for the extra parking. We stopped charging that. My predecessor stopped doing the extra vehicle parking and said people could just park out in the marina parking lots instead of parking in here. That didn't work, so that's why we brought back the parking. If you look at any other RV parks, you're paying $7 to $15 a day for an extra vehicle. So we felt that the last year when we brought that fee back, we felt that $5 was still cheaper than anywhere else, but comparable. And as you said, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of parking in the marina or in the RV park area. Internet, yes, this is an ongoing conversation. We looked at a brand new internet system that was going to be very, very expensive. So once again, it's how do we pay for that? Our system is old, it's outdated. We're doing what we can right now. Maintenance staff put up new poles, and we're going to get the contractor and the tech support to come and raise those transmitters up. But having said that, like Linnell said, we went up to a gig last year, but when you're sharing that amongst 80 to 100 spaces, that doesn't leave much bandwidth. So, let's see here.
Can I say something?
Please.
Because yes. I know the guest he's talking about. Okay. That particular person is utilizing their space when they want to, and there's no space for them to park their vehicle. So, okay. I'd let them know if they wanted to park in overflow, they were welcome to, but it is an additional $5 a day. So they have the space to park their vehicle there. They're just choosing not to.
I just went camping, and they charged us $10 for an extra vehicle in a campground.
And we looked at that when we went to bring this feedback in. It's like, so what is everyone else doing? We don't just throw out a fee and say, I think we should charge this. Yeah. Basically, I was thinking the $7 to $10 range, but it was like, no, let's just do $5 to start this out. That's better to do $5. So that's what we're doing.
Yes, I know you guys had parking by permit signs.
Yes.
You need to put those back up, and maybe over there by the back of the laundry facilities where they're parking. Have put the sign back up, no parking, so that the guy, when he comes in for the garbage, you get in. He couldn't the other day.
Right.
Put that back up and have him move the dumpster out, and then, you know, you'd have three or four parking spots.
We're going to be moving that trailer right there. I'll be getting that trailer moved back more so that way the dumpster, the trash man has better access to the dumpster. When we put that person there, they're only supposed to be pulled so far forward. We ask them to be back up. So that's going to get moved this week.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's...
They put the signs back up so people aren't parking parallel to the building they're parking in, so you can park more than one vehicle.
We actually had somebody that misunderstood directions and parked parallel to the vehicle behind the dumpster this last week. That was entertaining.
I think it's a strategy that, you know, for the fees, you know, something that I was watching... Las Vegas, people were going to Las Vegas, and then they showed that a lot of people were not going anymore because they felt like they were getting nickel and dimed on.
The value was gone.
And they were also getting all these add-on fees, and we saw it on airplanes, you know. So in the strategy of the business, I think, you know, one of the maybe things we could consider is just loading it on to the cost of the space rental. Instead of, you know, like I raised the price of the space rental $20, I don't have all the add-on fees afterwards. It's just another way to market it, perhaps. So it's just a thought. That's why I put that one out. I would like to get back to one thing. We got to walk around with Linnell. Thank you for coming down and visiting Linnell with me, and we walked D-Dock and the next finger over, and we got to talk about maintenance stuff. So I appreciate you coming to take that time, and you know, get to point out some of the maintenance things that I see. And F-Dock, FDOC is one that really needs attention, and you've already brought it up, Ray. That, it's those, whatever, when those, I think, you know, the priority should be some of those, how those fingers lean over. Like, that is gnarly. I couldn't believe the stuff, you know, how some of them are leaning. And that's why that happens, you know. I mean, the whys, yeah, okay, so get in front of that, but just correcting that would be a big priority in my mind.
It's a pretty extensive priority. I mean, it's a pretty extensive project to get those fingers leveled up. And we have to build new corner brackets. We have to, you know, it takes our staff time to get in there. And it's not something we can just fix overnight. Having said that, it's a lot better than it was, and we'll continue moving forward.
Have you been fixing those?
As we can, yes.
How many have you fixed, like, say, just anecdotally, like this season?
I would say probably half a dozen.
About
15.
Yeah, from the inner basin to the outer basin. Yeah. Oh, they were still working on when we have to do this erosion to get it finished.
Thank you. That's a big help. It's when I go to move crab off the vessels and stuff, I'm just like so worried I'm going to lose. And I mean, that's my own concern, you know. I'm sure there's other things people are having issues with.
The hard thing that we have going on right now, a few years ago, our marina manager went through and did a big audit of the work that needed to be done on the docks. And he estimated we had about 10 years worth of work that needed to be done on the docks at that time. And that work still needs to be done. I mean, we are busy fixing what we can as things are failing. So where we might be over here on FDOC working, things are failing over here.
Are you measuring that progress as you go forward? You're setting goals and
we have goals set, but right now we're just putting out fires. To be honest with you, we're just putting out fires. The guys got down there, worked on the docks quite a bit, got it straightened out the best they could, and then we're back over here working on these other projects. We have to take advantage of the State Marine Board dollars when they're available. So then that becomes a priority.
And it's on a timeline, too. That project has to be completed by a certain date for those funds to be.
And it's weather dependent. We can work on the docks in the winter, and we can't paint a bathroom or outside a bathroom in the winter. So it's all played into the scheme of things. It's just timing.
Do we need a new goals, a master plan?
It would probably be good to review our list.
Because I think that this group was involved with it. We had an extra meetings and a flip chart and did priority things and actually came up with a really nice master plan.
We did the Charleston.
Not everything was done, but.
Yeah, I want to say it was, 2013 they did the Charleston Master Plan?
Yeah, I was involved
and
with it.
And we just did the port strategic business plan, which we're trying to incorporate a lot of those goals into our visions and goals here at Charleston as well.
It's just nice to see it on a list.
Yeah.
On behalf of Charleston Fish and Families, we would like to thank Mickey for sourcing the lumber and privately getting the lumber for us for him and his crew to fix our fence that was blown under by the wind. Thank Linnell for allowing Mickey to do that for us. We understand that they are not able to accept gifts. However, we would strongly like to provide his crew with hoodies from Charleston Fishing Families for doing the job for us and doing it so quickly, because we did have an event the weekend prior to the fence getting fixed, and we were very appreciative that that was done in a very timely manner.
It does look nice. It does. They did a great job.
We tried to file an insurance claim on that. However, we were unable to file a claim on the damage because anything physically to the building, we are not able to file claims on because of the formality of the formulated lease. So Charleston Fish and Families would like to schedule an appointment with Linnell to sit down and discuss our lease. And so we just needed to know if there was no approval that we could give Mickey's crew hoodies.
I appreciate the offer for them to have hoodies, and I wrote against that, so thank you. Just get my approvals. Because again, yes. Unfortunately, we aren't allowed to accept gifts, but I will accept. And I appreciate that. And I would get something on the calendar as well. So I'll reach out to Melissa, or I can speak.
Melissa, yes. And I will give you Melissa's new email address.
Okay.
I think you had a question.
I just was wondering if you guys have dates of when you can do in-water work and stuff like that, if you're limited.
Yes, we are limited on in-water work. Basically, October 1st through February 1st is our in-water work for doing piling and things like that. We get away with dock work.
Gotcha.
During the summertime. But you know, if it's something we're having to do with piling or dredging, that has to be done during that October 1st to through February 1st.
Winter months.
Winter months, yes.
Okay.
Winter months, which is very challenging in itself.
Exactly.
First, revisit the maintenance fees and stuff. Another thing we brought up before was signage. In the port and the parking lots being painted, or you know, the direction of the travel. When we get so busy, people are still, you know, is there any plans for repainting, like these directional arrows, or?
It's all based on staff availability. To be honest with you, our staff hasn't had time to take on anything extra like that yet. I mean, something we'd like to get done, yes, but it's, you know, we're busy working on these grant dollars that have to be done within a certain time.
And that has to be done in the summer, right?
Have you checked on any of those torch down arrows? That, and that wouldn't take the guys very long to put them down.
Check on them.
What are torch down?
They're a pre-made, like a
lemon. They're like what they put on the highway.
It's exactly the same.
We've done them here. We've done them before.
Yeah, they're already done, so they come, they're already preformed, everything. Right. You just put them down and you heat them.
Yeah.
And you can throw the glass on them and make them reflective. Yeah.
Because we do have the stencils.
Yeah. The legends. Yeah. They're called legends.
We have the stencils for it and we've got the paint for it.
Oh, okay. Just need somebody to actually do it.
Just have the staff time to do it.
Our
staff is very, very stretched thin. We're stretched very thin on our staff.
Do you guys have like a volunteer group that might be able to pick up some of those? I was that
would
be like,
would be nice. No, we don't.
Very nice.
Okay.
I do love the idea.
Yes.
Okay. Would, another question. What if another volunteer group was like, hey, we'd like to help you guys out with like these small items? Is that an option?
It is an option.
Okay.
We would just have to look into, obviously, insurance coverage for Easina.
Yeah, a liability release form type thing. Okay.
When Shutter Creek was up on, when the prison was up on floor, we used to utilize their labor a lot for like our dredge pit and big projects and stuff like that. But unfortunately, that's not available anymore.
Usually there's nonprofits that are looking for projects sometimes.
There is. If you know of a nonprofit wanting to do a project, I would be happy to talk about this. We've got a list.
That sounds like it's up your alley, Mr. Newt.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, I got pressure washers. I got pressure washers.
From the county side coming up, we're working with Douglas County to get the work crew system back in our community corrections.
Okay.
So you might connect with Mike over there. I don't know what projects he's planning, but Douglas apparently has a surplus of people to run those programs and not enough clientele, as it were. So... we may have a program coming up where we'll be able to fill that gap.
That would be awesome.
Oh, can I get an email started with me?
Jump
on
that
one. That was
thank
great.
That was awesome.
Is there anyone else who would like to comment on maintenance or staff perspectives about the facility or anything?
All good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Okay, so this is agenda number 7, public comment period. Is everybody's kind of been pretty open with their comment, but Drew, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Let's see, two things. They're more tangential, though. They're related to the economic development side. We're, as the county, looking at what Coos Bay is doing with its vacant property ordinance, problem properties. So they are moving forward with I don't remember if it's per day or per month, but it's $1,000 fee to derelict property owners, mostly outside of the area. So that should help incentivize some of the property owners that maybe don't live here and let their property go to a mess, shitter it off the pot. And the other one is more of a question. I'm curious, the new owner with the RV park, it looks like it's cleaner. How is that doing in Charleston? The RV park behind Davy Jones, that was a bit of an issue.
It looks like it's getting cleaner. I mean, obviously, a month ago, he had quite a few dumpsters there and getting rid of a lot of stuff. It still has a hell of a lot of work.
Entrance and egress is a mess, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, visually, it looked to me like
somebody has been trying, it looks like.
The new owners have been providing those dumpsters at no cost to the residents to incentivize them to clean up. And I know they're continuing that. I was wondering if you're seeing any changes in maybe the behaviors of people in the area. Are you seeing fewer problems? Okay.
This is Charleston, Drew.
You can put paint on it, but it's still the same clientele.
Yeah. As a kid, we'd go look at the boats out here, but other than that, okay.
It bothers me that they park in the middle of the road, or what's supposed to be the road, because in an emergency, that's a big, huge problem.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an evolution. Appreciate it.
We have noticed, though, that the new owners seems whatever the new owners are doing, it's a progress. They're headed in the right direction. That's what it looks like. It's going by there every day. It does look like they're cleaning things up.
It is kind of their business model. They've done 250 of these around the country.
Okay, gotcha.
So they actually sold that place there. We have a new owner.
Yeah.
Owner of this.
Yep. It's not the guy out in Mississippi anymore.
Okay.
He's not local, though, is he?
They're not. They operate a lot of these.
Okay, gotcha.
But, yeah, it's definitely a new owner.
Okay.
And their intent was give people ample opportunities to clean up, and then if they haven't cleaned up, start moving people out.
Yeah. Thank you, Drew. On behalf of the Charleston residents and the advisory committee and the Merchants Association, thank you for making it a priority with the Works Department, if you had anything to do with that, the County Works. So we cleaned up the area behind the merchant's property there, which was the county park at one time, and we were able to hold that seafood festival, and it was a real good step forward to brighten it up, and look forward to more of that. So,
Dollar Group effort, our codes guy was very instrumental in encouraging the individual previously owning it.
It looks a lot more inviting when you come over the bridge, that's for sure. Yeah. Instead of having a homeless camp right there when you come over the bridge.
So, very much.
That's all I got.
Okay,
John.
We would like to know, what's the port's view on sexual predators within the port? There is a gentleman who has been trespassed in two businesses down here, and he is still walking around.
As of recently?
I haven't been down here in about 4 days, so. But last time I saw him, he was sitting over here at a table with a young lady. But he has been trespassed from our office, and he has been trespassed from Captain John's.
Yeah, last I knew, he hasn't been on the port property since I asked him to leave.
Okay.
But we haven't officially trespassed him yet because he hasn't committed any crimes on port property.
16 messages to a business owner that are sexually explicit text messages is not committing a crime on port property?
I was not made aware of that.
Yeah.
That's something that I need to be involved in.
16 to 19 messages.
That's definitely something we need to have a conversation about.
And he has
something
been,
like that, then we have, yes, with...
He has been to our office as well, and he has discussed sexual explicit things in our office.
We can have that discussion.
Has the sex of the sheriff's office?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I know you guys, Fishing Families has trespassed him, and then we have another business that trespassed him off their property.
And we have contacted Coos County Sheriff.
Yep. Okay.
But they have not reached back out to us, as far as I know.
Everybody keeps the merchants. We trespassed him off of our property, and he was living down on a sailboat, and walking by my business.
Me personally, I haven't seen him for days.
Is that the one that talks to himself all the time? Oh, he was in front of Captain John's this morning.
One of them, yeah.
Or not Captain John's, but the port side.
Yeah, he's been trespassed from Captain John's. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, they think the sheriff knows pretty much.
Port-wise, we have to have grounds to trespass somebody. So they have to commit a crime on port property. They have to violate our port policies. That's where the sheriff's office needs to get involved, and I need to see those charges. And then we can do something. Or he needs to commit.
We could give him a ticket for throwing his trash as he's walking by. He'll be drinking no thing and just toss it into the middle of the street.
Has he done that?
Oh, yeah, right in front of the office.
Thank you. The other thing that we have is we're excited about the Merchants Association and their future plans. Unfortunately, with the price that they're requesting to join the Merchants Association, it is outside our budget, and we feel that it would be almost inappropriate to use the donated funds that we receive to pay that annual fee.
The $50?
No, the $300, because $50 doesn't give us any voting rights. It gives us the ability to attend your meeting, but yet it doesn't give us any voting rights. And as a nonprofit, it's difficult because funding is limited to us. Our funding comes from grants or donations, and that's it. And those donations and those grants are low. And realize that the funding that we receive, we put back into the fleet. We provide them with safety gear. We provide them with fishing licenses so that they can continue to fish. So we use our funds very strategically to keep the fleet going. The funds that go into the disaster relief fund, if we have a boat that goes down and we've used that money for something else, what do we have for that disaster?
Well, you can still go to the meetings, because I've gone to several of the meetings, and I always voice things. And
at the last meeting that I attended, it was that in order to attend the meeting, they needed to contribute $50 to the meeting.
Is that new?
So I was at that meeting as well, and that got tabled for further discussion.
Okay.
That's not a definite yet, and that's something that definitely needs to be discussed with the Merchants Association.
I'm not at their meeting. I'm not part. I mean, I was at that meeting, but maybe something to think about is if you've got nonprofits, small nonprofits like Charleston Fishing Families, maybe have a scholarship program where you give them an easement to get into it to be, because we are a big part of down here. We do trunk or treat. We do Easter. Those are huge events. Those are events that we have like over 400 kids come to. And they're bringing family members with them. That's bringing people into Charleston. That's something that the Merchants Association, I mean, when we do, and John, I know you guys have contributed to it, when we do the Easter scavenger hunt, you guys are involved in it. We involve
every merchant
that we possibly can in Charleston as part of that. We don't ask them to pay a fee. We ask them if they want to donate. We ask them if they want to participate, and they're more than willing to do that. So we're also bringing business into them as well as getting people down at our office.
Makes sense. That should be brought up at a Merchants Association meeting, I believe.
I have to do so.
This property from last year's tsunami warning. Isn't there an alarm down here somewhere at the Coast Guard or something? Last year they went door to door to a few rigs. That was it.
Yeah. We don't have an active tsunami alert system down here other than the text message system on the cell phones. Recently, port staff has been involved with the county emergency management, and so there's trying to clarify roles, responsibilities, learn from the tsunami warning that we had last, because that was a great test of what we have and what we need. Right. So port-wide, we're actively involved in looking for those answers. But right now, we don't have an alert system here.
Did the other one just rot away, the warning system
what
that we used to have?
Right out here by the pump station. High Hallmarks.
I have no idea.
There's always been an alarm right there. They used to do it
every noon.
Every noon.
Every Wednesday.
Well, that was probably from the fire department.
No. That was a tsunami alarm.
Who would operate it?
The county does emergency management.
Yeah.
That's who's responsible.
Yeah, because there's one right down there by the pump station there behind Hallmarks.
If it's still functional, there's always salt.
Yes. Emergency management.
What's that?
Moving forward to the present, the assembly area for the tsunami warning is up at the top of the hill.
Good view of
there. There's actually two. One is
up that. One of them was impassable at this time. They haven't graded that other road. I got to pick up. I won't even go up there anymore.
Well, you're going to have to walk if there's a true tsunami warning.
Who maintains that road? Who's
that's
road? It used to get graded years ago, but.
Who does that county do that? Does the county?
It might be one of the ones that is technically in the road system to ensure that it can't be blocked off, but is not maintained due to level of usage. But I don't know what that specific road.
Does OIMB own part of it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we looked into this too. The county did grade it for years, and then they just.
Probably because of financial reasons. We have someone on the U.S. side who's looking into it. Yeah, I remember talking to the county guys when I was working with OIMB, and I would call them up and saying, hey, the road's getting bad here. Okay, can you guys come up and take care of it? And they'd send a grader up there, and they'd go ahead and grade it up, and it'd be good for the next year. And then I'd call them the next year later when it went bad, and they'd come up and do it again. So, as far as I know, it was the county's responsibility.
Nobody probably asked.
President, it's a disaster. And if you really were expecting people of the age group in this park to walk up that, you're crazy.
Well,
it's not gonna happen.
But if it's a really big earthquake, you're not going to be able to drive your vehicle anyway. Because everything's going to be crumbling.
I know, really. That used to be maintained years and years ago. It hasn't been touched. I mean, I've never seen it this bad.
Because
it's really bad.
Well, we probably need to ask.
We'd be more familiar with it. He's the liaison.
Okay. Okay, I'll talk to you, John.
Yeah.
I'm a pessimistic today. Sorry.
So, about the bathroom situation, the commercial boat owners do not have access to the bathrooms because they're locked between 10 p.m. and, what is it, 5 a.m., 6 a.m.? So if they're coming in on boats, they have no access to the bathrooms. Also, the showers.
So
they literally have to purchase a card to access the shower, and then they have to purchase tokens to use those showers. Yet they pay years mortgage, and what are they getting for it?
So I'd like to address the bathroom situation. The bathrooms have always been available to the commercial boats that come in the middle of the night. They just don't have security. That was something that was actually brought up in this meeting a couple of years ago. And it was addressed then. And there's actually a sign on the bathroom door saying after hours access, contact security.
Because we actually had somebody in our office who complained about it and we're like,
yep, they need to come talk to me. We'll get them access after hours. Showers access after hours as well. And for port, yes. The problem is that we can't leave them open at night because of the transients coming and going.
Right, but we have, you're having us purchase key cards.
Correct.
And then we have to purchase the tokens too.
Right, that's a normal thing for any marinas and stuff to purchase, have to pay for showers. That's a normal thing.
Do they do that at other ports?
Yes. If you take a look at Port and Newport, they charge for everything. They charge for parking, they charge for daytime parking, they charge for showers, they charge for... We are very small on our amenity charges compared to other boats for the services we provide. And once again, if you have a fisherman that comes in and has those questions, please have them talk to me. I'd be happy to see what we can do.
Yeah, we catch a lot of this because we're open on the weekends, and so we get all kinds of people in asking all kinds of questions, and we try to answer them as best as we can. So
I know it's money, but I'll ask it anyway. What would be the possibility of getting a gate similar to what's on the dock for entrance to get on the dock in the RV park versus the padlock that's locked at night? And, you know, most of the time is open in the morning, but sometimes it's not.
You're right, it is money, and actually you have a plan to replace that. When we'll be able to, we don't know yet. It's just depending on funding available. I guess that is a goal to down the road have that replaced. But each of those locks is about $1,800, and then the hardware to do it.
Right.
So, no, it would definitely be nice to have that be a keypad lock just like the gates.
Okay, let's move on to number 8, committee comments.
I would like to thank the Merchants Association and the county for all the work they did down at the Visitor Center earlier here this summer. I think it was a massive improvement down there. It makes that little bit of beach along the Charleston Road available to people that want to walk down there, park their cars, and walk on down there. They've taken out sections of the fence, which makes it more inviting. They had to take out several dump loads of trash from people that had been camping down there. And unfortunately, one lady lost her home there that was camped out there and everything. And I feel for her, but also I think it's much better that the place is cleaned up and more open to, like, a family that would pull in there and want to let their kids out of the car and go out there and enjoy. And I think that as a recreation and environmental type of a town, that we would like to keep a clean area here for all our visitors, because visitors bring a lot of money into us here. And I constantly thank the visitors when I meet them for, I tell them that, you know, coming to Coos County there and they hit a speed bump and money falls out of their pocket. We call that economic development here. Okay, so I think that's something that we need to keep up, and the hard work you guys did there and are doing to maintain that out there, I think is really big. And it's a major move on taking care of a problem that we've been trying to address and figure out a solution for you. So I thank you guys on that. The next thing I want to say is, you see you have an Oktoberfish poster in front of you here. The reason I'm telling you now is we're not going to have another meeting until after this here. Oktoberfish is in its 21st year. It's a very casual party here in Charleston out at the Marine Biology School. It's a non-profit event there. The tuna guys will do the dinners, Seven Devils pouring the brews. We get several bands lined up to play music. I always tell people to bring their lawn chairs and kids to enjoy a nice afternoon. We have members of the community out here, like the South Slough, OIMB, Coos Watershed, ODFW, Charleston Volunteer Fire Department. I always invite the Sheriff's Department there. Come on over. Anybody that's involved in this community there that's not necessarily going for commercial sales or greed, you know, but are helping our community, volunteers that work like Head Start or, you know, helping seniors and other stuff.
Marine Life Center.
Marine Life Center there. It's a party for Charleston. It's about us and it's for us here. In the 21st year here, and all the proceeds go to the Charleston Food Bank. Last year we got just a little less than $4,000 for them, and it's free to come to and enjoy. If you want to buy a meal, you can buy it through the food bank there and everything, and we just get the tickets, they keep the money. But I call it community building. And Shannon, Susan, and I started this back in 2005. And it's about bringing the community together and making us a stronger community, because together we can take care of problems if we can reach out, talk to each other, and feel comfortable about, you know, dealing with things. So it's there. Come on down. Enjoy the music. It's people say it's one of the best parties here in Coos County, and I gotta agree. It's very casual, and it's a lot of fun. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Oh, I've said enough today.
Only that it says Boast Basin Drive.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll take a hit on that one. Boast Basin Drive. We're boasting around here. We like our town.
And the Charleston.
I thought you mentioned before for the stuff you guys do. I mean, there's a lot of negative comes out about money and this, not getting this done, not getting that done. But I appreciate you guys stepping forward and putting a facelift on the bathroom dinner base and trying to keep the ice house running for the fishermen. And it's really nice that you guys are at least trying. And so I commend you guys for putting that right foot forward and doing it.
And that's saying a lot from him.
Yeah, thank you guys. Looking around the room, it's interesting to me as I participated in these, being a volunteer, and I look around, I see all the people that I see at the festivals, and I see them at the crab feeds, and I see them at the Easter, the show of lights. Anyways, the room here is full of people that work together and trying to achieve a better place, and it's good to be a part of this discussion and to continue to keep working together as a group to improve Charleston, whether it's through the merchants or the port. But we all have the same goal, I think, in mind, and that's having a better place, safer, have things to do here for people, and leave it better for the next generation of people that come after us. And so I commend you all for being here, giving up part of your day to be here.
And we did it in record time today.
Okay. And we talked about a lot. All right. I'll adjourn the meeting. We'll go for the discussion. Thank you. And we'll set the next meeting date to Wednesday, October the 28th at 10 a.m. That's a ways off.
Yeah, we do quarterly meetings.
Sounds good.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay,
I went to the movie.
Huh? Oh, yeah, no, it's not.